Hello, Minnesota boxing fans, and welcome to another episode of the Minnesota Fight Night podcast. I'm Brian Johnson, and my co-host is Sean Strauss. In this episode, we're pleased to chat with Minnesota boxers Gavin Hendrickson and Alex Satrowski, who will face off on the April 23rd boxing card at Canterbury Park in Shakopee. Fans can expect fireworks in what could be the fight of the night. Both boxers are 1-0 and are determined to stay unbeaten. Hendrickson of Richfield fights out of the Minnesota Top Team stable of fighters. Satrowski of Coon Rapids is part of the Valhalla Combat Sports Team. This is the second in a series of episodes previewing the April 23rd Ignite Mecca 18 card at Canterbury. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Right on, right on. Well, thank you for joining the Minnesota Fight Night podcast. I am Sean Strauss. My co-host is Brian Johnson, and we are joined today by Gavin Hendrickson. Gavin, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it. It's my third interview with you guys now, I think.
So yeah, we talked to you prior to your fight at Hinckley, and then we did a little post-fight interview after that fight to talk about how it went. And after that fight, which you won, which was awesome, congrats again on that, you talked about how you wanted to maybe step things up a little bit. So this guy you're fighting, what do you know about him? What can you tell us about him? It's exciting to see fighters like yourself keeping busy, man, and we're excited to see you in the ring again.
Yeah, I think it kind of worked out just how I wanted, because they told me there's a guy 1-0, and I didn't know anything about him. I'm not sure if he's like an MMA fighter or something, but I saw one video of him. He had a fight in Iowa, and he knocked some guy out, so I know he's got power. I think he's probably a little better of a boxer than the last guy I fought, but I guess we'll see.
I noticed Gavin, I looked him up on BoxRec. Looks like he's a little bit shorter. I think it said he's 5'8", and I know you're over 6 feet, right? So you think that's something you can exploit? Or, I mean, not to give away your strategy or anything, but what do you make of that?
Yeah, I definitely want to use my reach and my jab, and I saw his go-to punch, kind of like most MMA fighters, is the overhand right. So you just got to be careful for that. And yeah, I guess we'll see more when I get in the ring with him. I don't really have a specific game plan, but definitely use my jab. That's always what I want to do.
Yeah, we're actually going to be talking to your opponent, Alex Satrowski. I believe is how you pronounce his last name. We're going to be talking to him right after you here shortly. So that's pretty cool. I believe I've met Alex maybe once or twice at Valhalla Combat in Fridley, if memory serves me right. But yeah, I couldn't tell you. You know, I haven't seen him fight live before, so I don't have any insight for you. But I know all those guys out of Valhalla. You know, I've trained a little bit over there for fun in the open gym stuff. They've let me come down there and beat me up a little bit, and they all are pretty nice guys. Now you're training out of Minnesota Top Team, correct? Yeah. And I believe you've got your Team Warner shirt on, which is cool. We just talked to Colton this past weekend. So that's pretty awesome. You're supporting your stable mate out of Minnesota Top Team. He mentioned that you were one of the people that helps him get some sparring. You know, you kind of have some speed and accuracy that can help him sharpen his tools. And I was talking to Robbie Lloyd before him, and he was mentioned that you might be sparring him too. So it sounds like you've been pretty active, getting good sparring. What can you tell us about how your sparring and your training's going?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Yeah, I've been meaning to spar with Colton and Robbie, but, schedules haven't really worked out lately, but I've been sparring with some guys from our gym, and I got to spar with Caleb Truex, Tony Woods.
Nice.
But yeah, it's good to spar with Colton, Robbie. I like sparring with those guys too.
Well, Tony and Colton are two, and Caleb are two pretty awesome names to spar with, that's for sure.
Yeah, man, it was the first time I ever sparred with Caleb Truex, so that was definitely a good experience. He gave me some pointers and stuff, and it's always good just to be in the ring with guys like that, world champ.
Absolutely. So Brian mentioned he saw you out. He lives down by it, and he mentioned he saw you out doing your road work, which is good. What other aspects are you working on in the gym? Like, you know, is it just the kind of basics when you're working out? Is it just fundamentals, you know, like heavy bag, punch mitts? Like, what can you tell us about the regimen that you've got? You know, some people do some unorthodox things, like Caleb. You know, you mentioned Truax. When we talked to him, he does, you know, some pretty old school things like chopping wood and stuff like that. Just kind of curious what you're doing to stay in shape.
Yeah, I do. I run a lot, even when I'm not boxing, but I like to do a little bit of everything, a little bit of weightlifting, a lot of heavy bag work. Like I said, I run a few miles down to my coach Roy's house, and then I hit the heavy bag in his garage and lift weights and a lot of core work and stuff, and then run back. So it's kind of convenient that he's right down the street from me too, and he's got a whole set up in his garage and his basement and stuff, so works out good. I don't have to drive to a different city or anything.
You mentioned his name is Roy. What can you tell us about him, so that the fans that know a little bit more? We don't want everyone just to know about you. We like to try and highlight your guys' corners too. Who's Roy, and what's his background in boxing? Do you know?
Oh, yeah, he used to fight. He was an amateur fighter, but then he had some injuries and stuff, so he kind of focuses more on coaching now. He works with a lot of amateurs. He trained Colton Warner, Eddie Valenzuela, who's one of the best amateur boxers in the whole country right now at his weight class, and yeah, he's been my coach ever since I started. So it's been like 10 years now, and you know, he lives right down the street from me too. So yeah, I think he'll be my coach the rest of my career too. So, and Cesar Valenzuela too, Eddie's dad, and Nico Walsh, and John Scheinman too.
Nice. So who's the third man in the ring then? Who's going to be also working your corner come fight night along with
Caesar. I think Caesar said he could go there, even though there was some tournament that Eddie was maybe going to do, but hopefully Caesar will be there. And Nico Walsh, he's a buddy of mine, and he did some amateur fights and stuff too, so I've kind of always had the same coaches my whole amateur career and professional, so I think it works out good with us as a team. We know each other really well and stuff. So.
Now, I don't think BoxRec has the order of the fights correct, because Colton, I believe, is going to be headlining the event this time around, which is kind of interesting. You know, it's heavyweights, but it's only a four-round fight, but heavyweights are always fun, for sure. So that'll be cool. So hopefully you get to see Colton fight this time. On BoxRec, you're listed at like the fourth fight, before Robbie. But like I said, I'm not really sure that this is going to be accurate or not. Last time, you know, I asked you if there was any fights that were on the card that you were excited to see, if you got a chance to, you know, after worrying about your own fight. Because just like last time, this card is stacked. There are tons of good fighters on this one. Some of them fought on the same card last time, but for instance, one of the fighters fighting on this card that was not on the last one is Corey Thompson. I'm super excited to see him. I've been a friend of his on social media for a while, and I know he's active and a good fighter. And then the other one is Amy Lemonager. I think I pronouncing your name right, Amy. I know that she's been inactive for a little while and looking to get back out there. She was supposed to be, I think, on that last card and hurt her hand. But yeah, I mean, is there any fights you're looking forward to seeing, or other than Colton's, obviously, since he's in the same gym as you?
Yeah, Colton, I think his last fight was kind of disappointing because I don't think the guy really came. He didn't really put up much of a fight. So hopefully this guy, I heard he's a little tougher, so maybe he can get some rounds in and, you know, get more experience and stuff. And I think it'll be a good fight. And then Robbie Lloyd, I always like to see him fight too. Last time at Canterbury, he kind of stole the show and had a really good performance. I'm not sure who he's fighting, but I always like seeing him fight. And yeah,
he's fighting a fighter named Samuel Hernandez, but I don't know anything about him. BoxRec has him listed as 0-1, but Robbie said that he's got an MMA background and that he's really tough. So yeah, Robbie had good things to say about him. That's for sure. So he's expecting a game opponent, you know, and I mentioned your fight up in Hinckley and how you had fought an MMA guy and how he was really tough too. And just when we talked to Colton, I even brought it up again and I said, man, I'm like, there's a lot of these guys with the MMA backgrounds that are coming out in boxing, which is good for us because a lot of them are really tough and they're making good fights. You know, they're making good action packed fights. So I'm excited about that.
Gavin, you know, we're just looking forward, of course, to seeing you back in action, and it's always good to see you at the fights, and got to meet your dad there last time and everything. I'm curious, does he have a boxing background or was he just there as a fan to kind of cheer you on?
Yeah, no, he never boxed or anything. He's more of like a hockey player, but yeah, he always comes to my fights. My mom never comes to my fights because she's too scared, but my dad's always there, and yeah, he loves watching it.
Yeah, it's just, it's good to hear that training is going well, and Robbie had some good things to say about you when we talked about it, when we talked to him the other day. Said he was a fan of yours when you were in the amateurs and all that, so it's kind of cool. Are you guys pretty good friends?
Yeah, man, I've known him for a long time and we've always sparred and stuff, but we haven't been able to get together for sparring or hanging out that much because our schedules and stuff are so busy. But yeah, I would like to get some good sparring with him, or I'll go hit mitts with him at his house or whatever. But yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, he gave you some pretty high praise, at least in my book. Anyway, he said that you remind him of a Kelly Pavlik, you know, tall and, you know, you're tough. So I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said, but it was nice to hear that, you know, it's nice to hear from a lot of you guys on this card that you're either friends or fans of each other. You know, it makes even the ones fighting each other. It's good. There's not a whole lot of just bad blood. It just guys that are tough, you know, and even though they're fighting each other, it's like got respect for each other. It's pretty good to see, you know, some people like stuff too, but not me.
Yeah, there's some of that too, but that's like where most of my best friends, and stuff I've known from boxing or, guys I've fought before. And then we end up hanging out after becoming like, Rico Maddox, he's one of my best friends, and we fought each other twice before we even knew each other, and now we lived together and stuff for a while. So yeah, there's a lot of good people in from Minnesota Top Team and stuff too. That's where most of my best friends are from. Boxing.
Hey, I'm curious, Gavin, if you have ever met or talk to Jamal James. You kind of remind me a little bit of him, just the way you're built and you know, even the way you guys fight to a certain extent. Have you ever talked to him or sparred with him or anything?
A little bit here and there. I fought some people from their gym and stuff, and we talked a little bit afterwards, but I've never sparred him. He's like one of the few people around here I haven't sparred. I sparred with like Rob Brandt, Caleb Truax now, Mike Richmond and stuff. But yeah, I'd love to get some work with him or David Morrell and stuff too. But yeah, I love watching Jamal fight.
Wow. Yeah, you mentioned Richmond. You going to watch his fight coming up this, I think it was Friday, on the Bare Knuckle, the BKTV?
Yeah, man. I remember I was sparring with him. Yeah, I think he moved back here now, but I was sparring with him when he was just getting ready for his first bare knuckle boxing fight, and now he's like one of the top ranked bare knuckle boxers. And knowing how hard he hits, I'm surprised, or I guess I'm not surprised that he's knocking everybody out with no gloves on. But those guys are crazy. But yeah, I'll definitely be watching that.
Yeah, he's really fun to watch. He's had two fights, I think, now in the BKFC, and at least that I watched. I want to say the last one was against Cochran, and now this one's against Rickles. They call him the Caveman. And yeah, the hype around those two, I mean, they both look like they're ready. The Caveman, I saw some video of him on social media, and it looked like he already had like a scratch on his nose, a good one, like he'd been he'd been, you know, sparring or doing something. But yeah, Richmond's something else. That last fight he had against Cochran, he was methodically taking him apart to the body, which I think was something that nobody had seen really much of in bare knuckle. Normally it was just guys going back and forth, you know, headshots and stuff, but he was like really methodical and picking him apart. It was fun to watch, really.
Yeah, he's a really good boxer, actually. He's got some amateur pro boxing background, but compared to like most MMA fighters, just have big overhand rights or whatever, but he has a good jab and he's a really good good boxer.
When you fought, when you sparred him, where would you spar him at? Would you go over to the academy or would he come to your gym? Or, you know, what was the situation? Were you helping him get ready for a fight or was he helping you? Or what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was a few years ago when he was getting ready for, I don't remember who was fighting. I think it was his first bare knuckle boxing fight. He was going to go to London and do it. And I hadn't really heard about bare knuckle boxing, so I thought it was kind of weird, but he would come to Minnesota Top Team and spar with me, and John Scheinman sparred with him a lot to help him get ready for his fight because he was fighting a taller guy. But yeah, it was really, really good experience at the time. And yeah, I think he just moved back here, so maybe we'll have to get some more work together and get some more sparring soon. That'd be good.
Yeah, he'd been down in Texas and recently relocated back up here. So I saw on social media, he had just posted a picture of his new digs. He got a new place downtown, it looks like. So he'll be close to work and everything. So yeah, he'll be around.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get in touch with him. That's some of the best sparring I think I've ever had with anybody.
Well, cool, cool. I don't have a whole lot more to ask you, Gavin. I mean, we're just super pumped for this card. Like I said, it's stacked.
Yeah, I was just going to add or ask you, Gavin, if any of your fans out there want to get tickets, can they get tickets through you or contact you through social media, or how does that work?
Yeah, I've still got tickets, ringside tickets, table seats, and general admission. So just find me on Facebook or Instagram, just my name, Gavin Hendrickson, and shoot me a message and I'll get you your tickets.
Cool.
Yeah, in addition to that, I want to say there was are you guys using Nitro tickets? I think isn't that who you guys are using?
Yep. Yeah, they have that too, and you can select a fighter's name referred by, and you can select me, and then I get whatever percentage it is. So yeah, you can do that too.
Yep, that's the thing I wanted to make sure I pointed out. So if anyone does search for the fights, which is Ignite Mecca 18, which I didn't know the Roman numeral, Brian told me that. That's going to be at Canterbury Park and Shakopee April 23rd. You can, like Gavin said, go on to social media, message him for tickets, or go on nitrotickets.com and then click on the fighter and scroll down and find Gavin Hendrickson, or the other fighter if it's someone else, because if you're a fan of them, you want to make sure they get credit, because then the promoters and everyone know that they're drawing fans. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, man, it's gonna be a good show.
Absolutely. And it'll be we'll have to get you out at the Armory sometime, Gavin, to watch some of the fights out there, and hopefully maybe someday you can be on one of those cards.
Yeah, did you see the Showtime card with Tim Zhu?
I was working that night. I wish I could have went. I've been to fights at the Armory before, though, and yeah, that's like one of my dreams is to fight there one day, hopefully. I know at the last one there was like no Minnesota fighters on the whole card, though, so.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
We'll see.
Nice chatting with you again, Gavin. If we don't talk between now and April 23rd, we'll certainly see you at the fights, and wish you well.
Gavin, I just wanted to say, absolutely, we are looking forward to seeing you at the fights. Definitely want to talk to you after the fight. And both Brian and I, we were talking about how it might be kind of cool to go over to Top Team sometime. Maybe when both you and Colton are there, would be really cool because we've never been there. So maybe we could make that happen.
Yeah, maybe like a Saturday morning or something would be a good time. That's usually the only time that me and Colton's schedules work out where we're both there. But yeah, shoot me a message or let me know and we could for sure do that.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, well, thanks again for joining us, Colton. We look forward to it. And we will see you fight night.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And Brian, honk at me if you see me running again.
I will, for sure. I'll definitely do that. Take care, Gavin. We'll see you later.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. So we're on Minnesota Fight Night Podcast. I'm Sean Strauss. My co-host is Brian Johnson. We are joined with Alex. Alex, I'm going to butcher your last name. It's Sitrowski.
Actually, you said it correct.
Nice.
And that's rare. That's rare.
Yeah, so we're talking to you about the upcoming fights at Canterbury. You're going to be fighting the gentleman we just spoke to, Gavin Hendrickson. I believe this is going to be your second boxing fight. Is that correct?
My second pro boxing fight.
We had asked Gavin if he had seen or heard anything about you, and he said he had seen a fight where you fought down in Iowa, and he said you knocked the guy out, and so he knew you were tough.
well, thanks. Jeez.
what can you tell us about that experience? I mean, your first boxing fight, it sounds like you went on the road.
Yeah, my my first boxing fight, I was given about 2-3 weeks notice. I had been planning to go pro before that, so like my training had already been set. But to hear to go down to Iowa, I was fighting him. I knew it wasn't like my hometown or his hometown, so it's just a good fight. I knew at the end of the day, if it went to the judges, it would be fair, and we didn't need to. I ended up knocking him out in 59 seconds.
Awesome.
Wow. It's a longer drive, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was a four-hour drive for a minute of work.
I did that with my daughter one time. She's on a swim team at U of M Morris. I drove like to Sioux Falls to see her in the 50 free, and that was, you know, less than 30 seconds in the pool. So
yeah, you can ask my dad how many times he went to a wrestling match and watched me get pinned, and he drove a good 2 hours.
Do you have speaking of wrestling, do you have an extensive background in that sport, or what else do you do? Do you do MMA? What other combat sports do you do?
Well, I grew up wrestling. I started when I was 4 years old, and I did it throughout high school. And then I finished and decided I just joined the Army. I didn't do any college. And then I actually ended up getting booted from the Army for being too heavy. I was 260 pounds at one point. And that's why I chose this fight to be at 160 pounds, so that I can tell myself I lost 100 pounds. But I started doing some combat jiu-jitsu. I didn't really get into striking until I moved to Valhalla and found my home there.
No, I was just going to say, Alex, I saw on one of your social media posts, I think it was Instagram or something, that you had shed 100 pounds. That's pretty impressive, man. How did you do that?
You know, before I was living in such a dark place. Now it's so weird to think back on it. But I remember I had to set a schedule and a workout that worked for me. I stole shamelessly the Rock's workouts offline. And I said, if I could do half his weight, we'll see where I go. And now I'm here.
Good for you.
Yeah. You said you made Valhalla your home.
Yeah.
I was telling Gavin that, you know, I've been down there a few times over the last year or so, and let Marty beat me up a little bit. And
Marty's something else.
I got to say, like, we've had Marty on the podcast. We've had James Clark. We're going to have Denny's Reyes on the podcast tomorrow with James doing some translating for him, because he's also going to be on this card. But just in general, I like Valhalla and I like those guys. You know, we've had Josh on as well, who was at the last Hinkley card.
Yep.
He's also on this upcoming card.
Yep.
When we'll be interviewing him later also. So in general, I have nothing bad to say about Valhalla. But what can you tell us about how that came about? How did you find your home to be at Valhalla?
Actually, so I had been training at American Top Team down in Savage before COVID kind of hit. And during COVID, I just wanted to buy some mead.
James Clark.
Yeah. And I ended up messaging him, and I bought 2 gallons of mead, and I drove them up to my sister's, and I just chugged through those. And, you know, it was a shorter drive for me from Princeton to Valhalla than it was for Savage at the time. And I just kind of went there.
Yeah, for those who don't know, I haven't partaken, but I've seen on social media that James makes good mead.
It's delicious. And it's like 14% alcohol.
I've had some mead at the Renaissance Festival in the year past, so I know what it tastes like. But I know that with the kind of the Renaissance of home brewing and everyone getting into that, I know there's a lot of people that also brew mead, and I've seen that he's had like events.
Yeah, he's actually. I've gone to his seminar to learn how mead's made and all that, and it's very interesting.
Yeah, very cool. Well, wow, who would have thought? Mead led you to your dream, Jim, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So what is your working out? We were talking before Brian joined us that, you know, you were saying that it was beautiful outside today. It's like 50 degrees out. And we were talking a little bit about whether you train inside or outside when weather is nice like this. And you said you love outside if you can.
Yeah.
So are you doing road work outside today or?
Today I did do some road work outside. I just went out and ran, enjoyed kind of the outside, brought my kids to the park. Other than that, since it's been cold, all I've been doing is training down at Valhalla. We spar a ton. And sparring, you know, like sparring Denny's Reyes, Josh Clark, all these big names for me as me, the nobody. It's humbling.
when you're sparring, I'm curious. I know it looks like Gavin is fair amount taller than you. How do you prepare for that? Are you just specifically working with taller guys then to prepare for that, or?
Like Denny's Reyes, I believe he's like 6'1", 6'2". He's pretty tall up there and he's a heavyweight, and I spar with him as often as I'm allowed to, basically. And Josh Clark is so fast. I think we have our camp set and ready for this fight.
So other than sparring, what are you doing down there? You know, like what type of like I said, I've been down there a little bit with Marty. But I mean, I don't know, like, do you have someone who's specifically kind of working with you, or is it sort of like as a team you guys are all working together? How's it, because it might be a little bit different, you've got so many people in one camp that are fighting on the same card.
I think the best part about it is we have so many people on the same camp, but we're all training at the same time and we all want to get rounds in, to get our workouts in, so everyone has that fire in them for these fights. So working out together as a team, the four of us, we're doing a lot better than I think just working with one coach one at a time does.
Yeah, the fourth person we'll also be interviewing is Blake, right? So we mentioned Josh Clark and Dennis Reyes, and the fourth one was Blake Bergeson.
Yep, Blake Bergeson.
And we'll be interviewing him as well. I'm excited about that. But so Valhalla's got four fighters on this card, and we were just talking to Gavin, like we mentioned, and this past weekend we talked to Colton, so that was Minnesota Top Team. They've got two fighters there. But Valhalla has been well represented lately on both the last Hinkley card and the last Canterbury card. Now, you said you guys are all working together, but what are you guys doing? Like, I mean, I've been to, like I said, the open gym kind of thing with Marty, but when it's not open gym and when it's the real deal, when you guys are really training, give us the rundown. What are you guys doing down there?
All right. Well, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Josh Clark and I generally get about 10 to 12 rounds sparring in before we'll hit a workout of lifts that I've built, just because I've lost so much weight. I've built so much muscle to be able to where I'm at. I had to learn. So to be able to help him, I help him with his lifting. He helps me with my boxing. And I feel like in those mornings, it's such an intense class. It generally no one else is there, because we set a standard for those morning classes that when him and I are in there, we're there to work, not play around. We'll spar and we'll put in our long rounds.
I know Josh is a fitness fanatic. breaking Jack LaLanne's records.
I'm so happy I'm able to help him lift. When someone holds world records, and I'm like, I can lift some heavy stuff and show you a few different workouts.
That must be Jack LaLanne's
is crazy.
Yeah.
that must be inspiring to work with someone like that, huh? Just to try to keep up. And
yep, it truly is. I'll say it now and I'll say it 100 times, I wouldn't be as good or where I am without them, and working with them and seeing the sort of pro he is.
Yeah, talk about just that gym in general. There's so many unique things going on there that are,
yeah.
with Josh, you know, he being as young as he is, yep. And being a good fighter, you know, both MMA and boxing, and now being a business owner of his own gym, his dad, you know, also great athlete, and then now gym owner. And then the last time, I didn't even know he spoke another language or whatever. He was training for Denny's in the ring. It was hilarious to hear people up at Hinckley behind us when he was up in the ring translating and stuff. People kind of like, whoa, the white guy is stuck in another language. It was cool. You got a good crew down there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think we have a real good team.
I think he was actually born in Ecuador. I saw that on BoxRec.
Josh was. James spent a long time down there.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So we've got a little bit of time, obviously, left before the card today. As we're talking to you, it's only April 4th, and the fights are on the 23rd. Where are you at as far as training? You know, I know this is only your second pro fight, but when pros are training, sometimes you hear them say like they're going to be like, oh, it's going to be a 12-week camp or whatever, or however many weeks. Have you guys got it mapped out? Like, is it down to a science, or are you guys just sort of taking it day by day? You know, how does that work?
I keep my lifts pretty regular the way I like my stuff, and I always have kept my like physique and how I lift and stay in shape. Very 5-mile run every day, just lift, then do my sparring and my boxing. But for me, like my first fight ever down at Valhalla was a kickboxing fight down there on a show for him against a 1-0 pro. I had never striked before, and it was on 3 days notice at 190. I'm just making sure my weight's 100% on there, and I'll fight anyone any day. Okay. I like to stay in shape and be ready for it when it needs to be.
Well, you've got
I wouldn't have waited like a 2 months, or actually it's been almost a 6-month layoff since my last fight to this one. I would rather be more active.
Sure.
Well, you've got a tough opponent coming up here in Gavin. Watched him, and what's your scouting report on him?
I was in Josh's corner at the last show, and I actually watched him. So I think this will be a fun fight. And if he can gut it out, this is going to be fight of the night.
There you go. Well, we'll look forward to that for sure.
I honestly would not be surprised. There's so many good matchups on this card. Like, I'm expecting to be thinking it's fight of the night more than once.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Because yeah. It's just like, yeah. Wow, I'm looking at the box rec report right now, and I'm just kind of like, this is going to be so good.
It's going to be a fun card and a great night.
The limit, you said, you know, it's middleweight. So, and you, that's why you said you chose 160, because you want to be able to tell yourself you lost 100 pounds, which I mean, once again, congrats on that, dude.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you so much. It was a long time to do it, but I'm going to.
How long did it take?
So to get the initial weight off and like to get from 260 to 200, about a year and a half. And then since that, it was just building muscle, being as strong as I can be, coming down slowly and healthily was the next year and a half to where I am now, where I think I'm at the strongest and fastest I've ever been.
So you've got your boxing workout. Now you mentioned, you know, your kids, because I mentioned Brian picking up his son.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, the kids will do that.
Yeah.
How are the kids factor into your routine? Because I can only imagine, you know, I hear parents talking all the time. I'm not a parent. But about how tiring that can be just chasing your kids around. You're an athlete. Yeah. Now you got to chase your kids around too. How is that?
I love my boys. I have two sons, Kyler and Barry. One's 4, one's 8. I have them most of the time after the divorce. So I bring them to school. I bring Kyler to school. Barry goes with me to training every day. He has his little home down at Valhalla. If you go down there, you'll see him playing his little video games or his show. And he's been raised in that gym environment since he was probably 1, because he's only 4, and I've been losing this weight his entire life.
Yeah. Wow. Good for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's a special thing, I think, for a lot of these fighters, that where they get to share that with their kids.
Yeah,
I've seen lots of stuff like that on TV, you know, like when they show the big pros, when they show those 24/7s or whatever, and all of a sudden you're wondering, you always kind of wonder, like, how does it work with their kids or whatever? And all of a sudden you see, they're in the gym.
He's just running around.
He's
just there. He's part of the family too.
You learn how to do that. You learn how to adapt. And when your parent, my kids are older now, but
yeah,
you know, I remember,
you can't let them choose your dreams or that. They're going to be along for every journey I am. They're part of me.
And you're setting an example for them too.
Yep, and that's the biggest goal. I want to be the best example for my two kids I can do. I want to box for as long as I can, maybe help some people while I do it.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, your story already is inspiring me. Let me tell you, I know Marty wants to get back in there and working out. And
come down anytime. If I you're there, to. Yeah.
Just Marty promise will get me you to work. Won't punch me full strength.
I promise I won't.
I was working with like the last time I was down there, I laughed because I knew who he was, but I'm sure he didn't know who I was, but it was
Dave
Peterson was there, and we had squared up with some people to do some fun sparring, and he hit me once pretty good, and I think he realized right then, he's like, oh yeah, this guy doesn't know anything. And it was funny, but then it was super cool because then he was super helpful.
Yeah.
And it was like telling me what to do better. And I was like, man, I love this place. Marty, like I said, Dave, all those guys. It's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something else. It's truly a home to be at for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell all those guys we said hello. We're looking forward to seeing you and all the rest of Valhalla guys there. And I'm sure it's going to be a blast on the 23rd.
This is the first time we'll get to see you. So we're definitely excited to see you fight, man.
I think it'll be a great night, and I hope I can put on a show that's worth it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be fireworks. So,
yeah.
You know, that's one great thing you see on these cards. A lot of times you'll see the local guy matched up against someone who's just there for a little payday or something, and they'll take a dive or whatever. Yeah. But we're seeing some really good matchups between
hometown guys. I think he's from like Richfield, isn't he?
Yeah.
This is just a couple of hometown guys going to throw down.
Yeah.
I'll buy him a beer after. It'll be a fun time.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he'll take you up on that.
Perfect. That's the best kind of fight I could ask for.
Yeah, for sure. No, but it's good to see. It's good to see these competitive fights being made.
Yeah.
And
I think it's good for the sport. It makes you get better, too.
Definitely.
Man, well, thank you so much for joining us, Alex. One of the things that we love doing with this podcast is we want people to get to know the fighters.
Yeah.
You know, and get to know a little bit about who they can root for, you know, and it's fun for us, you know, since we're covering these fights, we want to get to know you guys and not just sit ringside and wonder, you know, and just not know anything.
Who's this guy? Them. You know,
exactly.
So that's 100% what everyone would have been thinking if I hadn't just done anything. Mm-hmm. But like, who's that guy up there?
Well, I've definitely heard your name, you know, because like I said, of my limited exposure to Valhalla, but I guess I never really viewed you, you know, I know you mentioned that the other guys being the bigger names, like you're not, but I've always viewed you as one that was pretty, pretty tough just because I knew you did some mixed martial arts and you were wrestling and stuff. I didn't know that you were into boxing, you know? So when I saw that you were going to be boxing, I'm like, oh, sweet.
It's kind of weird. Cause if you ask any of my family and like growing up, they would have, and I said I would be boxing, they would have been like, why? We're wrestlers. But I love it. I love the purity of just, you're both going to stand up and you're going to throw some hands.
We were talking to Irish Danny Morgan recently on the podcast, Minnesota Boxing Hall of Famer. And he mentioned that a couple of his brothers were wrestlers who made it all the way to the Olympics. And, you know, of course he was an outstanding boxer. So you guys can coexist within the same family.
Yeah, we can. It's
well, just look at Tony Grigelko, seconds out. I don't know if you know him, Alex, or not, but he's the one with Caleb Truax, you know, and working over in ACR, you know, likes Jim. Mm-hmm. And he comes from a huge wrestling family. And from what I've seen, he's continuing that with his kids.
My kids will be in wrestling soon.
So
COVID made him go back, but
he's a huge boxing guy, but you know, and he fought professionally. Mm-hmm. But it's cool to see that they keep that wrestling alive, you know. Yep.
I think it's a good mental toughness too if you do that sport or something else.
So did you
it can help you learn how to lose the weight and make weight, right?
Yeah, it sure can. It'll give you the blueprint.
Did you wrestle in high school or anything like that?
Yeah, I wrestled throughout high school.
Where'd you go to school?
Eden Prairie.
So on a fun level, you mentioned you've got your video game headphones on and you got a video game PC, and you mentioned your kid playing video games too while you're working out.
Oh yeah.
I'd be remiss if I didn't try to ask some more fun questions.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes I ask people, like, you know, if they have favorite music to work out to or whatever, but you got the video game. So when you're unplugging, you know, from all of your stress and everything, what games are you playing?
I've been playing Elden Ring so much right now. It's crazy. I was playing it before you guys even started this call.
I think it was the one who I think I saw posting about that before.
Yeah, I'm
way too.
Yeah, I think Matthias. Yeah, from Bob.
I'm butchering names. I'm going to be the new Teddy Atlas around here.
Oh, it's no worries.
I'm going to say in Vasquez.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Elden Ring, and other than that, I'll play like League of Legends. My kids like the Tony Hawk games and stuff like that on the Xbox.
Cool.
Cool. No, Teddy Atlas is in my doghouse, man. Ever since he had on his last podcast, he ignored the Tim Tszyu fight that was here at the Armory, and yet he spent 5 minutes talking about Will Smith and Chris Rock. I mean, come on, man.
And it didn't even pertain to fighting. It was a slap.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, you can't escape it. I heard it.
It was that whole day after, everything on my feeds on everywhere was the slap.
Yeah.
I was adding to it. I was posting it all day. I was a piece of garbage.
Did you see that meme where it was like a knight that was just looking like dejected sitting there, and it was like, rest here from the, you know,
Dark Souls knight.
Yep. Yeah, someone tagged me in that and was like, you know, rest here, Sean. And I was like, thank you. I'm like,
I needed it today. Yeah, me and culture took over on that.
What kind of music do you like to work out to, or do you have a particular ring walk song or anything that you rock to when you?
I listen to a ton of anime stuff or like rap rock. I'm just all over the place. You'll hear me listening to country if it's a nice warm day out. It's whatever song.
Cool.
That's a good mix.
Yeah, it's just whatever song.
Yeah, when Josh was fighting at the last Hinkley card, I asked him, I was like, man, did you tell them like what song to play? Because after he won, they ended up playing, I can't remember, it was an Irish band, so Dropkick Murphys or something.
Yeah.
But it was just like, well,
perfect really timing.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. And like the Irish Virus is in the ring, yep, playing the Dropkick Murphys. It was cool.
That's perfect. You got to think of that. It's all part of that showmanship.
Right on.
Yeah, Tim Zoo was rocking out to AC/DC Thunder on the way to the ring.
Yeah, the Thunder.
That's show. A good one.
Yeah, that's those classics, man. You can't.
I like to watch when I walk out and I'm going to choose. I guarantee you it'll probably be The Fortunate Son by CCR. I just that one. And I get to feel like I'm walking in a helicopter a little bit back in the day.
If only they could throw some, do the smoke,
Yeah, the smoke. I would walk out in a helmet too. It'd be funny shit.
That's a good one.
That's a good going to war song.
Good classic. Too. Yeah. Gets in the mood to throw.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think there were some good ones. I think in Minnesota history where you had Mike Evgen or Evian. Like I said, I'm butchering names like crazy here. He'd come out to the Fabulous Thunderbirds, Tough Enough. Oh,
perfect.
yeah. And, I can't even, one of my favorites, it's not really a tough song at all, but was when Caleb Truex came out of the Armory, came out to a Purple Rain. That was pretty cool.
Oh, well, in Minnesota, you got to, that would be the best.
Yeah.
I mentioned that to Tim Zoo when we were interviewing him before the Armory fight. And I said I asked him what he knew about Minneapolis, and not much. He didn't know much, but I mentioned that it's the hometown of Prince, and then his eyes kind of lit up. Oh,
really?
That's one thing that Minneapolis will always be known for.
Speaking of that, I didn't watch it, but I saw just yesterday there was apparently a video found of Prince when he was a kid, like a really young kid. And it's all over social media right now, and I haven't watched it. I just saw like a still image of it, and it's clearly Prince as a little kid.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. But I mean, not looking, wild or crazy or anything.
Yeah.
It's just funny. I'm like, wow, a little Prince. And everyone's like, oh, it's so cute. I'm like, yeah, it makes you wonder, like, if he was alive, he's like, no, you're not sharing that.
No, that would have never been on the internet if he was still alive.
Well, speaking of music, I go way back. I'm an old guy, but I remember I was a big fan of Queen back in the day, and I still am. Apparently, you might not know this or find it hard to believe, but apparently Freddie Mercury knew his way around a boxing ring and
actually
almost started a fight with Sid Vicious. He called him Simon Ferocious or something, deliberately butchered his name to try to get under his skin.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. That would have been a fight.
That would have been funny. That would have been the coolest thing ever.
I have a hard time believing.
That would have been better than that slap, let's be honest.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I have a hard time believing, though, that Sid would have been sober or
there. Yeah. Or the biting and clawing.
Well, we could talk boxing all day long, but we want to talk to you after the fight. We'll let, if you and Gavin are having drinks afterwards, we'll leave you alone or maybe just catch a sound bite. But we want to talk to you again after the fight for sure. And, as you progress and keep fighting, we definitely want to check back in with you. And number one, you're already a winner in our books, man. If you lost 100 pounds, and when you weigh in and fight on fight night, you're already a winner, dude. So congratulations on that.
Yeah. The first fight's with that scale. But yeah, I'd love to be on. This was a fun time. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. It's great to meet you. We'll see you at the fights.
Yep, and see you there. Have a great night.
Thanks.
Yep. You too, buddy. Take care.